Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Draft day in Houston. Draft day in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. It is the NFL draft. We are so excited here. Vanessa and Gallant, we got Noah Fouts behind the glass for us today. How you doing, Noah?
It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
Welcome back,
we
Noah.
Love Noah. A little shuffling today.
NFL draft time in Houston.
Is that Eddie Vedder?
And we're ready to play.
No, that's Clay Walker. You've never heard of football time in Houston?
I have heard football time in Houston.
Ooh, is a draft pick just happened? With the first pick of the NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select flag football legend Paul Gallant.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable. I'm just going to leave the studio right now. It's over.
We are going to start with the Astros because the Astros are getting ready to play with Justin Verlander on the mound. And they did win last night. They beat the Rangers 4-3.
Yeah, that was good. It wasn't great. I guess I just want to see the Astros pulverize teams, and we haven't gotten much of that except for a couple of times against the Los Angeles Angels. The good thing is that any idea that there was a Kyle Tucker slump, let's just shut up about that now.
Because, there was a slump, but it's done.
Right. That's what I mean. That yeah. It's continued because you've seen him now over the last couple of games leading into last night's game. I saw Brian McTaggart put out a tweet. And it said that he was batting essentially .417 heading into last night's game. And that number went down a little bit because he went 1-for-4, but the one hit. It's a 3-run double. And you get a nice performance out of Kyle Tucker, Jordan Alvarez, and Chaz McCormick also contributed. McCormick had a really nice catch against the wall, and he had a leadoff home run to open the game. Alvarez in the outfield making some plays, gunning a guy down to end a shaky second inning for Christian Javier. You saw some nice moments last night.
Stanek at the disco.
But, yeah, Stanek and Abreu made it a little bit nerve-wracking. They have extremely fast and powerful stuff. The location, though, leaves a little bit to be desired. I think Stanek hit 100.2 last night on the gun, and I think that Abreu hit 99.8, which is neat. But locate the bleeping ball, please. Thank you.
Yes. Baker saying Ryan Presley hasn't had a setback, but not quite ready to return from what they've called like knee inflammation.
Yeah.
Not super specific, and it doesn't sound like anything serious, but certainly you want him back and ready to go.
Especially after you just gave him the extension, and 5 seconds later, he's banged up.
Yeah.
And take your time. You're taking him with Lance McCullers. Marathon, not a sprint. You're in a division where it really seems like there's one true challenger at this point in time, though the Angels are off to a good start. So I get all those things, but, you know, you wonder about decisions like this when you're trying to evaluate James Click as a general manager or the decisions that they're making roster-wise right now in a post-Jeff Luhnow era. This is one of those ones where you're like, okay, well, is that something that you maybe could have been aware of? Is this something that could lead to worse problems for Presley? It's always tricky, I think, giving relievers big-time extensions. You know, and that's why you let Kendall Graveman walk. Kendall
right.
Graveman has a career year in the bullpen. Last year for Seattle, you trade for him at the deadline. Do you really expect that to happen going forward? And I would say the same thing for Presley.
All right, meanwhile, the NFL draft is the big story of the day. How do you feel about draft day? How do you feel today about draft day?
Draft day. It's a great movie starring Kevin Costner.
Ooh, I like, you know, let me tell you.
You like Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner has his moments in Yellowstone and The Bodyguard.
Noah Fouts, do you have thoughts on Kevin Costner?
I was just going to say Vontae Mack no matter what.
Ooh, Vontae Mack no matter what. Yeah, RIP. That is that is sad. But that movie, sadly, made me cry. Did you know that?
Really?
I teared up at the end because I was very happy.
Empathy from Paul.
I was happy for the Arian Foster and Vontae Mack led Cleveland Browns going into the future with their own version of Brian Hoyer as the team's starting quarterback. This like very, very vanilla.
I've never seen this movie.
It's not good, but it's funny. It is funny.
Haven't seen Draft Day. Sorry. Paul's the movie connoisseur.
And Chadwick Boseman played Vontae Mack.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well,
that's why I was saying RIP.
Yeah. Yeah. RIP. All right. So let the mixed feelings about the draft. It is something that we hear about from the second that the NFL Combine ends to draft day. All of the mock drafts, all of the misplacements, all of how is Trevon Walker all of a sudden number one when like a month ago, Aiden Hutchinson, it was a done deal, signed, sealed, delivered. He's number one. But let the Bengals serve as a reminder of how important a good draft can be. They have two consecutive really good drafts. Now, granted, Joe Burrow getting hurt was like a weird because then the Bengals were bad again. But they have a couple of good drafts and they end up in the Super Bowl. So there's going to be a lot of teams tonight that make moves that could put them over the edge. There's going to be moves that might be, you know, make the teams drafts and busts like the Jacksonville Jags if history serves and repeats itself. So other than the Texans, which team are you kind of randomly watching tonight to see if they can really add to their roster and make a difference?
So can the Jets really screw it up every single year? Seriously, can they screw it up every single year? It is amazing. Just their entire history. It always seems like they bloop it up. They will have an early pick, and who do they get for it? Who do they have to show for it? I mean, shoot, their most recent example, it's Zach Wilson. I always assume the Jets will fail with their picks. So can they make this one work? You have two opportunities in the top 10. I'd say the same thing for the New York Giants, who don't
That's my pick.
Don't get nearly enough criticism.
Yeah.
The Jets are easy to roast. They've been bad forever. The Giants did win Super Bowls in the past 20 years, but they have been just as bad as the Jets over the past decade, and no one talks about it, which is interesting because it's not like the NFC East had a team like the New England Patriots in it or has a team like the Buffalo Bills in it.
The Giants are number 5 and number 7. I think if they nail their picks, it could be an absolute game changer and get them out of their slump because their division is so bad. The Jets at least have a division where you're like, oh, okay. But the Giants don't have that excuse.
But even...
So if the Giants nail the number 5 and number 7 pick, do you think they could win their division? Do you think it could be that quick of a turnaround?
No, because they're losers. They don't have a quarterback, and I hate to say it, like the Giants can't. Like the Jets, I feel like at the very least, could do something in this year's draft to potentially put them on par with Miami. Buffalo is such a front runner in that division, though. It's almost like it's still the same old AFC East where there's a juggernaut at the top and no one's anywhere close. New England isn't. Miami, I don't think, will be. I don't believe in Tua Tagovailoa. But I think the Jets can pull themselves closer. I don't see how the Giants do it. They need a quarterback, and they are still publicly supporting Daniel Jones. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're loyal, at least. What do you think is Nick Caserio's
so
mindset?
So is Ned Stark. Huh?
What do you think is Nick Caserio's mindset as he heads into this draft? Remember, this is the first time Nick Caserio has high draft picks because even when he was with the Patriots, which obviously he wasn't the general manager, but was a part of that front office staff, they were winning so much. Not a lot of high draft picks. Last year, no high draft picks. Right now, he is the number 3, and if they hold on to it, the number 13th overall pick in the draft.
Well, he should be just thinking to himself, there is no pressing need because I am in such a far away position from contending. I don't need to force anything here. I don't need necessarily an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman. I can do whatever I want. So if there is somebody they like at 3rd overall, even if maybe that's not the consensus 3rd overall pick, but they really feel strongly about that guy and he's a top 10 prospect and he's probably going to be off the board before they pick at 13, that's who they should pick. That whoever you like the most of those whatever 5 guys that you have at the top of your draft board, take him. Don't even think about, hey, does this help out Lovie Smith? Don't even think about, hey, is this a scheme fit? Bleep your scheme. Adapt the scheme to whoever you think is legitimately the best player. It should be about that. You don't have enough players to marry yourself to some sort of scheme right now. I feel like even if Lovie Smith is an older coach, adapt to what you get. Adapt to what groceries are bought for you.
The thing that I like about Nick Caserio is I think he has a healthy amount of optimism while still realizing the reality is the reality. The draft is random. You can't 100% know. I mean, he has even said there is a science to it, but that this draft in particular is a crapshoot. I like that about him. I feel like other regimes of other teams, and quite frankly, even the previous regime here, of Bill O'Brien and other people that were making decisions, that they felt a little too sure of themselves. And I think Nick Caserio is more realistic.
Speaking of crapshoots, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, a text. I can't wait until I'm 55, then I'm going to shoot my shot with Vanessa because of your love of Kevin Costner.
I'm just saying Kevin Costner has his moments where you're, you know, when
you're
watching.
Well, that means other 55-year-old men might have their moments.
When you're watching Yellowstone and he's like putting it to someone or.
Well, what do you mean putting it to someone?
Like having someone killed.
Well, he put it to the governor of of Montana, and then he
great
put it to
great show
the Greenpeace girl,
the protester.
Yeah,
he's Kevin Costner is a producer of Yellowstone, and he writes sex scenes for himself.
Well,
which I love.
I mean, why not?
But he was hot in The Bodyguard. Now, granted, that movie's like 30 years ago, but the way he made Whitney Houston feel so dangerous yet so safe.
I've never
Kevin
watched
Costner
that movie.
Has his moments.
I should watch it.
It's a good one.
The song is a banger. You.
Yeah, there's that one, and then there's a couple of other really. That's whole soundtrack is actually really good, of The Bodyguard. Okay, enough about Kevin Costner.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm so hot and bothered right now.
Weird fetishes. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the quarterback class for this draft, not known to be hot commodities, but which teams could low-key be looking at a quarterback? That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Ho-ho.
Breaking news.
I like our breaking news sound.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's entertainment tonight.
It does. Adam Schefter just tweeting. We were talking about this about 20 minutes
ago. I thought we were
going to
get something
ago.
About Amber Heard.
Oh.
The poop trial. But
you
no.
do love Amber Heard and poop. Houston picks number three. This is per Adam Schefter. Houston picks number three, but the Texans have also been exploring a trade back up for a second top 10 pick per league sources.
Okay.
If the right player is there, the Texans are trying to position themselves to move their second first round pick at number 13 to go get him. I thought I would have put hand on the Bible that the Texans for sure would move back for more draft picks in the future when they have maybe a little bit more of a solid team. It appears, though, that they may have somebody that they think is worth moving up for.
Well, think about the teams that are also picking in the top 10. Do you 100% buy that both the Jets and Giants will be making top 10 picks? Two top 10 picks. Something tells me that a first-time general manager with the Giants, Brian Schoen, I believe his name is?
Shane.
Shane, thank you.
Joe Shane.
Joe.
He's from Indiana, went to DePaul in Greencastle.
Thank you for correcting me on that. I was like... Mr. Giants yeah. general manager guy.
Joe Shane. Indiana guy from Elkhart. Nice guy.
I think that guy, whoever he is.
Joe Shane. It's one of the most basic names you can think of. Spelled weird, but pronounced very regularly.
Fella McFella Pants, I bet, would definitely think about trading back. And I think if you're Joe Douglas with the Jets, too, that you're thinking about that as well. So those are two places that you could potentially move back into the top 10. And I wonder just who it is that would potentially have the Texans feeling that way. Obviously, this would probably take place a little bit after the Texans pick third overall
right.
because you don't want to trade up to a specific spot only to see the guy that you traded up for to go bye-bye.
Yeah.
So when, I don't know, but the Jets and the Giants are the two teams that I would look at as the most logical choices as to who the Texans would decide to trade with to trade up.
Some news there from Adam Schefter. This is the first time that I've heard an actual reliable reporter report that this could happen. And this makes it even more interesting. I'm also just curious because Adam Schefter doesn't mention who it is. I don't think Casario will give that away even to media members that he trusts. But I wonder who that player is that they are willing to put it on the line for.
There's so many smoke screens that do go out at this point, too, that it could just be a smoke screen of people perhaps trying to put more pressure on the Jaguars, picking first overall, the Lions drafting second overall to make sure that they get the absolute right guy. Because it's one of those situations where sort of like you're taking a test and everyone's trying to keep their work to themselves, but maybe they're curious about the other answers that are put out by other people taking said test. It's this tricky spot that That's why I hate this part of the draft coverage.
It's mysterious.
It's mysterious.
I'd like to think I'm mysterious,
but when,
apparently I'm not.
When everyone is essentially throwing out chaff and like anti-missile dispensers, whatever the I don't know what I'm talking about.
Someone on Twitch just said
stuff.
What would I have to do to take Vanessa on a date? To which Todd the Show replied, "You have to have a dad bod, be taller, like classic rock, enjoy food/travel, and you should have a shot." Am I that obvious?
Yeah. Well, you've outlined it. You've been very open about it with
I'm
us.
I'm very open.
You've also said Jason Momoa, too.
Yeah, Jason Momoa.
Right, not Mimosa. That's who you. That's what you have with Jason Momoa.
Pronouncing it.
Or brunch.
Yeah, I'm not mysterious at all. But some mystery surrounding the NFL draft, including which team is most likely to take a quarterback. In years past, almost every mock draft has multiple quarterbacks in the top 10. This year, there are a lot of mock drafts that don't even have a quarterback going in the top 10. There's also some that have Malik Willis at number 2, some that have Malik Willis at 22. So it is a crapshoot. Which team do you think is most likely to draft a quarterback in that first round tonight?
Ooh, I thought it was going to be the Panthers. But when David Tepper publicly says that we think Sam Darnold is a very good quarterback, aren't I obligated to believe him? Unless this is yet another smokescreen being put out to try to drive Sam Darnold's trade value up. God, I hate the internet. I hate that I can't just take a quote, read it, and say, yeah, this is what's happening in real life. Nope. Skeptical, cynical Paul has to think that this could be a deep fake. This could be a smokescreen. I feel like Alex Bleeping Jones when I'm reading this. But anyway, the Panthers still, to me, make the most sense. What the hell else are you doing in this draft? You don't have a pick in the second or the third round because you made the Sam Darnold trade. It clearly didn't work out. He's not a good quarterback. Give up. They should be the ones that take the quarterback.
One of the teams that I think is low key could be looking for a quarterback. The Washington Commanders. They have the 11th overall draft pick. Is Carson Wentz your fighter? I mean, Ron Rivera is a nice guy. And he says that he's very confident in Carson Wentz, and the Commanders and front office and people have even gone as far as to say, we don't know what Philly and Indy are talking about. He seems great so far, et cetera, et cetera. Are you that confident in Carson Wentz? I think the Commanders, if there's not a quarterback taken in the top 10, as a lot of mock drafts say that there won't be, the Commanders could be the team that drafts a quarterback. I don't know who it would be. I don't know if they like Malik Willis and what they've seen from Liberty, or if they're, like a lot of people in there, a little more confident in Kenny Pickett. But are you that confident in Carson Wentz to where you think that he's going to be your franchise guy?
No, you shouldn't be. I mean, really, the only thing that you can do if you're Washington is say to yourself, well, when he was in Indianapolis, he had no great wide receivers. When he was in Philadelphia, he had no great wide receivers. Now he has Terry McLaurin in addition to Curtis Samuel, but Terry McLaurin is a top 10 wide receiver in the game. That's what you're telling yourself right now. But everyone that is uncertain about a quarterback should be thinking about it, especially as some of these guys, I imagine, slip. Whether it be Malik Willis, whether it be Kenny Pickett, who I'm a little bit less in on. Desmond Ridder, I think, is an interesting option from Cincinnati, too, that is probably going to be a second-round pick.
Do the gloves bother you with Kenny Pickett?
I don't really give a damn about hand size as much as others do. The guy played in relatively cold weather. I would be more wondering with Kenny Pickett, how much better is he going to get? Not, hey, he wears gloves. You know, Kurt Warner wore gloves towards the end of his career. And Kurt Warner had that second little run with the Arizona Cardinals and got them to a Super Bowl. Gloves aren't something that scare me. Tom Brady has worn gloves before. I think he wore one glove for a lot of the cold games that he played. So I would say more so it's what's the upside? You want a guy that's got a ton of upside if you're drafting early on. And that's why, to me, even though Willis has a lot of things that you look at and you're like, he's not that big height-wise. He's not that big as far as being able to perhaps see over the offensive lineman in front of him. Doesn't really operate well in the pocket. But is this guy mobile? Yes. That's what I look at with quarterbacks. I want a guy who can run. And Ritter is the other guy that I feel like that about.
Going to be interesting to see. There are some side dishes, storylines along with this NFL draft that we will go through later in the show. And you don't want to miss that. But coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we continue our conversation. Former first-round draft picks from Houston and our Texans wish list draft. That's next.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I ate some HEB chips that are here in the studio on the break. They're like, they've got a little kick to them, and they made me sneeze. Like, aggressively sneeze.
What was the flavor?
I think it's like jalapeno and queso or something.
Okay. I mean, they seem like they've just been lying there for a while.
Yeah, it's probably gross. Probably wasn't a great move.
You didn't even roll the bag back up.
I'm usually a lot better than that.
Yeah, you usually are. Yeah, well, I mean, it's getting stale as we speak right now.
We went through Watt, Hopkins, Clowney, and Watson earlier.
Nice subject change.
When we, because I'm irresponsible and gross. We went through the Texans. We continue to go through the Texans' first-round draft picks throughout the show, of course, because they have two first-round draft picks tonight so far, number 3 and number 13. Adam Schefter reporting a couple of minutes ago that they could move back into the top 10 with that number 13th pick if a certain player is there.
I'm intrigued by it, but I don't know who that name is.
Yeah, we don't know who that name is.
I'd guess corner. If they don't take a corner at third overall, I would be betting on them to take a cornerback moving back up, but I don't know who's going to be available still. Is Stingley going to be there? Is Sauce Gardner going to be there? Those guys might be back off the board before they could potentially trade back to go get him.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I don't think they'll take a quarterback. I don't think they'll take a running back, but I think almost any other position is... Why are you smiling like that?
What if they took a running back? You know what would actually universally get the entire internet to basically kumbaya together, except for an extremely hateful way? If the Texans draft the running back in the first round. Because the internet hates running backs being drafted in the first round.
I just don't think they'll do it.
More than anything. I agree. There's no way that they will do it. However, that will be the most universally despised pick, say the Texans were to take a running back in the top 15 or something like that.
As we continue our journey through Texans' first-round draft picks, we're going to go now back in time.
If I could turn back time!
If I could turn back time. I was one step ahead of you. We're going to go to 2002.
2002.
Noah, what happened in 2002? Play it for us.
With the first choice in the 2002 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select David Carr, quarterback from Fresno State.
Can you play the rest of the boos? Because that was like, there were a lot of boos.
That's fantastic in New York. I don't know why they were
Carr,
booing him.
Quarterback from Fresno State.
So you got a guy in David Carr who, from what I understand after the fact, yes, did not have any help in front of him to the point that ESPN, I think, even put a promo together for Carr's second or third year in the NFL leading up to the NFL draft. It showed David Carr under center, and there were no other offensive linemen out there.
Yeah.
Because he got sacked like 70 times. They set the NFL record a couple of times with some of the struggles that they had in front of Carr. But Carr is also somebody who never, at least based off of what I heard, put in the kind of work that should have been expected of a guy taken first overall. He was a very much 9-to-5, show up at 9, clock out at 5 kind of player. Is that an extreme indictment? I think that ranges from person to person, but you could see why it didn't work out. Not just the offensive line, but possibly also David Carr, his own personal habits and preparation as a quarterback were the reasons that he ended up being, yes, a bust.
Yeah, he did end up being a bust. And
won a Super Bowl, though.
He did win a Super Bowl, and he's been a better, probably, media personality than he ever was with. That will also, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but that will always blow my mind how somebody can have such a mediocre kind of career and then parlay it into a really good media career.
Look at Dan Orlovsky.
Dan's a great example.
Yeah. Listen, hey, if you know how to explain this to others,
right,
and you can do it in an engaging
layman's terms,
way,
baby.
I have no problem with that.
No, I don't either. I just think it's interesting.
I generally think that the guys who work harder at the industry are the guys who weren't star players. I think that the star players kind of just show up. because I'm a star player. Anything I say, people are going to believe me 100%. Which, you know, hey, all the power in the world to those people. That's what happens when you are a legend. But I think that the guys who weren't that are usually the ones who put in the most effort.
Very true. Let's go to the number three overall pick in the 2003 draft. The Texans, of course, have that number three overall pick tonight as well. Let's go back to 03.
With the third selection in the 2003 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Andre Johnson, wide receiver, University of Miami.
What
I'd say this one worked out.
Yeah. I mean, he's as far as things are right now, the best player in your franchise history. J.J. Watt, I think you could make the argument, was a better player. But, I mean, what a pick that was. Third overall to take a wide receiver and to hit it, especially during a time where you saw the Detroit Lions trying to do the same thing and they kept on bleeping it up. Who was the guy? Rodgers, I believe, was the player. I forget his first name that they took. And they had a Mike Williams. I mean, the Lions were trying to swing and swing and swing for the fences at wide receiver. But Andre Johnson was everything and more. Strong, fast, deep threat. Made Matt Schaub into a good-looking quarterback. He was an incredible pick. And I think also, too, in an era where wide receivers are extremely vocal to the point of being annoying, the way that he composed himself, despite playing with some absolute poop sandwiches
lunatics
under center, as far as just the overall production, I mean, I don't know how he had the kind of patience that he was able to have being a part of this organization as long as he was.
Now we go to 2006. Noah, cue the music.
With the first pick of the 2006 NFL draft, I'm Paul Tagliabue. I can't say Houston correctly. I say Houston, like all those other idiot Northeasterners. With the first pick of the 2006 NFL draft,
I thought we had the audio and we don't.
Take Mario Williams.
They did.
For whatever reason, wants to be called Mario and not Mario.
That is really weird.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
I mean, was he good? Yes.
That's what we want.
Was he great? No, he wasn't. I mean, he was just there.
Just to defend myself before we go any further, you said cue the music, and I was like, what music?
Oh, no, like the pick of 2006 of Mario / Mario Williams. It's all good. It's all good.
So, look, Mario Williams, the Texans took him first overall in 2006. They did not sign him to the long-term extension. And, you know, you take a look at that moment in time. It's sort of a lot like Jadeveon Clowney.
Right.
Except for...
Good, but not great.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with taking a guy that ends up being a starter for you for 4 years that you don't pick up the extension on. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, no, that's bad. It's not great, obviously. It's not optimal. You want to have, with your first overall pick or second overall pick or third overall pick, a foundational piece. I will take a good player.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people look at that pick and they have this expectation that the guy is going to be there for 15 years and be a 5-time, 10-time All-Pro. That doesn't happen. It's very rare that some of these guys even get the fifth-year option picked up in their rookie contract. Back then, obviously, you saw guys who would get that first overall pick. The problem was you were giving them these ridiculous contracts before they even played. But Williams was a good NFL player. He was not a great NFL player, and it's smart that the Texans did not give him the long-term extension.
It was a double. Maybe not a home run, but it was a double. All right, now we are going to go through our Texans wish list draft. If we could get some NFL draft music in the background. We go through what we would like the Texans to do at number three and with that number 13 position. PG, take it away. What do you want them to do with number three?
Okay, number three overall. Hit me that Fox music. Bah, bah, bah. Third overall. Look, I've been saying this all week. I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. I want Derek Stingley. Stingley balled in 2019. He was awesome. I get it. Injuries. A lack of caring over the last couple of seasons at LSU. Kind of don't blame him. When you play on that team like you did in 2019 and you can't get drafted right out of it, where you probably would have been yourself a top 15, top 10 pick, I can understand why maybe you don't put in all the effort that you should have. I can understand why Sauce Gardner also would call you out for it. But Sauce Gardner played at Cincinnati. Derek Stingley played at LSU. It's different. It's different when you play at a real school. And Stingley, I mean, that's true, though.
We're going to have words because you know my pick, number three overall.
Yeah.
I like Sauce Gardner.
You want Sauce Gardner.
I like the length. I like the athleticism. And I would like to
love
the name. But beyond that, I do watch some Cincinnati football because I used to work in Cincinnati, and I like Luke Fickle in that program. So I say they pick Sauce Gardner and maybe can get something out of a guy that's a little bit, I would say, almost underrated. But you never know. There's a lot of busts in this first round.
He tackles, which you could make the case Stingley doesn't.
Right.
He clearly has a lot of confidence, and I think he would be a fun person to hear from. This team definitely needs somebody.
Some media fun.
Well, forget the media fun. This team, there's a certain point where your team can't just be the, hey, we're a bunch of swell guys, which I know a lot of Texans have been annoyed with their entire history being just essentially that. Like, hey, we have good guys with high character. But there's a certain point where you need to have somebody on your team who sets an attitude. And I think that if they were to pick Sauce Gardner, I would not be disappointed. Definitely.
Noah, what say you?
I think it's Sauce. I think it's one of the two corners at three. I think either one's probably a good bet. I like Sauce name. I like the confidence.
We like the swagger. All right, number 13. What do you want them to do with the number 13?
So if they trade up, I'm intrigued. But I'm hoping that Jameson Williams from Alabama falls because of injury. Torn ACL, concerning, and that was awful to watch when it happened. I remember seeing it, and I was like, oh, God. And, of course, they always show the slow-motion replay. But, I mean, Jameson Williams, if you know, we had the highlights up on ESPN as they get closer and closer to the draft. Jameson Williams just runs by guys. And
do you think that could be the player they're targeting?
That's who I would want. If I'm not taking a cornerback at third overall, this team definitely could use all sorts of different things. We talked with Randy Mueller yesterday. You traditionally build in the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. But if you can find speed, which is the thing that Mueller also brought up, I mean, you get that with Stingley. You get that with Jameson Williams. And if you want to have the best possible weaponry for Davis Mills going into his second full season, to have an arsenal that maybe won't feature Jameson Williams right away, but also Brandon Cooks, okay, that's pretty damn awesome.
My Texans wish list requires them to trade back for more picks next year. I like Davis Mills. I think that obviously in year three, he's going to be even better than he'll be in year two. Mm-hmm. And maybe they could get some more weapons next year rather than load up this year. Noah, what about you?
I think one of the three wide receivers is top three, Williams, Wilson, and Olave. Either one of those three, I'm cool with.
All right, that is our Texans wish list draft. If you want to go back to our shows yesterday, the day before that, we did some different types of drafts, who we think will be drafted, who we would like for drama's sake to be drafted. But either way, we're going to have some answers tonight. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we finish out with some NFL draft side dishes and our edition of Garbage Time. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You are locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I just choose at this point to exit out of the Twitch comments because my comments about Kevin Costner earlier have started conversations about age differences and how...
What do you think is going to happen?
I just said I thought that Kevin Costner had some hot moments in Yellowstone for an older guy. That's it.
That's not inaccurate. And look, obviously, we're not playing to just the Twitch crowd out there, but we love our Twitch people because they are very fun.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975. If you ever want to interact with us, we take all comers. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, well, I mean, both the text line and Twitch have been unified in being very curious about what you are interested in. Because you're an attractive woman and you're talking about perhaps being interested in the demographic that generally listens to sports
talk
radio.
Okay, I like older guys, not old, but I like slightly older guys. Yes, mature, because they leave me alone. They let me do my thing. They're not like clingy. I like a little bit more of a dad bod. Okay, I don't need somebody that's like super, super, super fit. I like guys that are healthy. Yeah. Classic rock music.
Super fit's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. And you have to like sports, obviously. Can't go out with a guy that doesn't like sports.
Interesting. I don't need a significant other to like sports.
Why do you say that?
Because you know what's funny? When I'm off the clock, I don't want to talk sports at
all. There's a lot of people like that, though.
It depends for me. It's not like I'm not passionate about it, but it's always when you are with somebody, whether it's a friend or a significant other, who is super into sports, sometimes they are going to want to give their opinion on things without really caring what your opinion is on them.
Oh.
And that's what because I'll give my opinion, but they're asking for my opinion so that they can give their opinion.
My problem
and I'm
that
like, I don't care.
Right. My problem that I run into is that guys think that's all I want to talk about. And I'm like, no, it's a, you know, because they know I like it.
Okay.
I'm like, no, like I, you know, well, let's not talk about UK, Ukraine and Russia, but there's other subjects I'm interested
in. See, that's what I want to talk about off the clock. Sure.
What a bore. All right, not boring. The NFL draft tonight.
Oh, wow. What a transition.
TV transition.
I love to just over the top annoy you when you transition because there's no way to come back.
There are obviously a lot of storylines with the draft, but there are also a lot of quote-unquote side dish stories.
What is a side dish story?
Side dish stories, current players. Do you want me to list some side dish stories for
you? Give
me
some side dish stories.
Are the 49ers going to trade Deebo Samuel before tonight?
That's the number
when
one.
They would be able to get the physical done. They would be able to have a clearer picture of who their starters could be and who could move into that position for Deebo. Where does Jimmy G go? Is he going to be ready to throw by June, as John Lynch had said? Baker Mayfield. What I think is going to happen with Baker Mayfield is that they're going to wait until maybe a player gets injured, training camp, whatever, and then he goes and he backs up somewhere. But there are some interesting side dishes as well.
I think that Baker Mayfield could be a day two trade. Possibly.
Ooh.
And I would say right after whenever Desmond Ridder is drafted, once guys like Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett are off the board, is a move going to be made where a team thought, hey, one of these guys will fall to us. We're not 100% all in on this guy being the quarterback of the future, but say one of those teams that is thinking that they'll be able to find one of those guys by sitting back and being patient. I think that's when Baker Mayfield goes, is once all of those guys are off the board.
We know that the team that Baker Mayfield was interested in most, the Indianapolis Colts, did not seem to have an interest in him at all.
Nope.
But he had mentioned the Seattle Seahawks on that podcast. Does that seem likely to you?
I don't know. It would really be if Seattle's not able to get Desmond Ridder. I think Seattle wants Desmond Ridder in the second round as the quarterback that they'll probably go into this season as competing with Drew Lock and Geno Smith. So essentially, it's that guy's by default.
All right. So according to Tom Pelissero, he says there are great offers on the table for Deebo Samuel, including first round draft picks of the future. But the clock is ticking to get it done, of course, before the draft.
I would imagine that the real sticking point is going to be not compensation for the 49ers as much as it's can one of these teams that would potentially make the deal put together a contract that protects them. Because Deebo Samuel is a player that is going to be, I think, just an injury risk that's a lot different than any other wide receiver. Not just because of his track record, but because of the way that he is optimally used. If you're paying him a big-time contract, you are paying him to use him as a running back and to pay him as a wide receiver too. So I think that would probably be the biggest holdup, not necessarily the compensation. I bet the 49ers, after the Trey Lance trade, probably think to themselves, yeah, we gave up too much. Because we don't even 100% know that Trey Lance is the guy at this point in time. We're saying that he is, but, I mean, shoot, is it a foregone conclusion that Trey Lance will be the starting quarterback for the 49ers next year? I know that they are saying it publicly, but I don't know. I feel like they've gotten to the NFC Championship game with Jimmy Garoppolo. Is Garoppolo the reason that they lost that game? Definitively? I mean, he definitely didn't help, but I don't know.
Meanwhile, one of the other side dish stories, although it does directly involve the Packers, is kind of Devontae Adams' absence. Are they finally going to draft a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers?
Is Aaron Rodgers going to whine?
Yes, and we don't even know what about because he whines now. So the answer to that
people.
Is yes.
They're not people, man, here in Green Bay. I'm going to go back to Colorado and go on a cleanse because the Green Bay Packers didn't give me what I wanted.
Do you think they'd draft a wide receiver? Do you think maybe they trade up to draft a wide receiver?
They should. I mean, I don't get the Devontae Adams trade. I still don't. I know that Adams wanted to be in Vegas, but you got a guy on your team. You're going to trade him because he wants to go there? Is this the future of sports?
It was very random. Jesus. It was very player. We knew that Devontae Adams liked Carr and that they played together at Fresno State. And it was very, they liked Devontae Adams, so they did him a solid. But yeah, we'll see. 6116 on the text line brings up an interesting question. What if the Texans take Sauce at number 3 and then trade back into the top 10 for Stingley? With the cap space they have the next year and two, spending that much more on the line and receivers along with second and third round picks. Two lockdown corners for years to come. I know Lovie Smith would like it.
I like it for the short term. For the long term, good God. I mean, imagine having two contracts expiring at the same time at the cornerback position, and you're looking at some of the deals that have just been given out this offseason. Who was the guy, Ward, on the Browns that got an $100 million deal with 70-something guaranteed, I think? I don't know if you're doing two cornerbacks. I don't think so.
I don't see it happening, but that would give me my Sauce and you your Stingley.
Yeah.
All right, it is time for our segment that we call Garbage Time.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, the Oakland A's attendance has not been great.
Lots of cats, though.
After they run off all of their fans. And yes, they have some feral cats.
People are acting like that's a problem. Again, I think
cat
that's a perk.
Cat dad over here.
That's a perk.
Cat daddy Paul Gallant.
So the A's president,
yeah.
Vanessa, is trying to roast the San Francisco Giants because they also are having issues with attendance. The problem is the Giants are not poor. The Giants have won World Series. The Giants play in a beautiful ballpark. The Giants, yeah, they don't have attendance problems. They're also not playing in a dump and are basically trying to tank their way out of the city to basically find a way to get to Las Vegas by any means necessary. The A's are being shameless with the way that they're trying to get out of town, where if you're going to go to the pictures from the Giants ballpark and post them online and you're the A's president, that is a next level of...
Here's the tweet.
A little brother syndrome.
Stay strong. I wonder if the SF media is going to comment on the sparse attendance.
The reason they're talking about your attendance has nothing to do with the fact that you are struggling to draw people in, both in San Francisco and in Oakland. It's about the A's are leaving. It's fine if no one goes to a Giants game. It's kind of chilly this time of year, right? It's probably not optimal to go to a ballpark.
But it's school. It's also school. Like the Giants will have better attendance when school's out. Meanwhile, the fight between Jerry West and HBO over the series Winning Time and the portrayal of Jerry West continues. He was not happy about it. Had a lawyer demanding an apology. HBO basically said, nah. And so that drama continues.
Yeah, it's a drama. Get over it.
Here's the irony. We kind of talked about how Jerry West was mad that his character is portrayed as being such a hothead that has anger issues and mental health issues. But by him going so hard at HBO and continuing, because that's what he did yesterday, continuing to demand a retraction, it kind of makes the character seem accurate.
Right. He said, they belittled something good. If I have to, I will take it all the way to the Supreme Court. The series made all of us look like cartoon characters. It is a television drama. And as you said just a second ago, Vanessa, you're essentially Streisand affecting yourself. Now people are going to go watch it and perceive you as this, as opposed to not watching it at all. Like, you're giving the show free publicity. And the show is great. I've enjoyed the hell out of it.
I'm excited to watch it. You've convinced me.
That Jerry West is more entertaining than the real Jerry West, I guess. So, I mean.
Meanwhile, a Florida man shoots a man in the ankle, beats him with a golf club for walking his dog along the hole of a golf course.
Look, people with dogs are very entitled often.
Okay.
Well, they are.
Actually, that's not wrong. And yeah. I have a dog.
I mean, dog people will often bring their dog to the bar and they will just say, oh, he never does this, when the dog is essentially like humping everything that moves, snapping at people, barking nonstop. Not all dogs are like that, but calm down, bro. He's just walking by to the side. Not only did he pull out a gun, but he felt the need to beat him with a club. Like, that's attempted murder.
It is.
Jeez,
murder,
dude.
And murder, as we know on the show, murder is mean.
Murder is mean.
Diana Russini just tweeting, by the way, the Giants have not exercised Daniel Jones' fifth-year option per source. So the Texans Draft drama continues. We should know answers, of course, in just a couple of hours. Who are they going to pick at number 3? Are they going to trade up with 13th? Trade back? Time will tell.
Time will tell.
All right. The Killer Bees, Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, next from 12 to 3. And then, of course, we have our afternoon show in Viva Las Vegas.
Right. Should the be wheelhouse.
And the wheelhouse is in Las Vegas.
Let's get this damn draft over with so I can talk about picks. Jeez.
Have a good day, guys. See you tomorrow.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real.
Let's go.
Fun. Sports.